Hallelujah. It's supposed to get 91 degrees today. Humidity is going to be so high, it's going to feel like 150 probably. But I know a place hotter than that. I'm not talking about Amarillo, Texas either. Amen. All right. Hey, let's get into the Word of the Lord. Thank you for praying for us while we've been under the weather. We're still working this thing out, whatever it is. And one thing kind of triggered two or three other things, so we've had a problem with it. My wife, she lost her first cousin yesterday. She found out this morning through a farming accident, a tractor ran over him, opened a gate, and the tractor ran over him somehow. And I was telling someone this morning, I said, where we come from, cousins are like brothers and sisters. We're all raised together. Everybody's house was there, and if you needed a whipping, you was over at your aunt's. She just whooped the tar out of you just like she did her kid. They never thought nothing about that. I like that kind of stuff. You know, I don't think an aunt or uncle should have to call the parents and say, can I discipline your child? What are you talking about? Wear him out. But anyhow, that kind of made us all close together. And so she has taken, he's only about a year older than her, and she's taken it real rough, and that's why she's not here today. Praise God, but she'll be back this evening. She's a tough gal, made out of the right material. When God gave me her for a wife and being a pastor's wife and all that we've done together through the years, you got to be made out of some kind of material. All right, the book of Numbers. Chapter 32. Brother George, I appreciated that article in the bulletins on the joy of fatherhood. Y'all be sure to read that. That was his debut article for our bulletins, and I wanted him to write the joy of fatherhood. Father's Day is coming up in a couple of weeks, so be sure to be making preparations and bringing people to the house of God. Numbers, the 32nd chapter. Verse 1, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dabon and Jazer and Nimrah, and Heshbon, and Elah, man, what names, and Shebam, and Nebo, and Beon. I wouldn't live in no place name like that. That's what I'm talking about here today. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, no wonder he smote them. He said, it's a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. I'm fixing to read you one of the sad verses in the Old Testament right here. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Give us what's on this side, because we want it more than what's on that side. Are you following what we're talking about? Who in their right mind would give up Canaan land for a Nebo or a Shebon or a Beon? It's amazing what people will sacrifice eternity for is what I'm talking about here today. Now let's jump on down to verse 33 to redeem some time today, because I want to get into this. And Moses gave unto them, even the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and the land with the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the country round about them. They came to Moses. They came to Eleazar the priest. They said, we don't want to go over Jordan. We want to stay here. And Moses granted her wish. He said, well, he shouldn't have done it. Well, here's the thing about it. The choice whether you want to cross over is between you and God and not between you and your pastor. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? People come and tell me a lot of things that they're going to do. When they come and tell me what they're going to do, sometimes I may advise them, sometimes I may not, because they're telling me what they're going to do. They're not asking what to do. Amen. So you have to acquiesce to whatever they got in mind so often, especially today. But Moses said to them, he said, be sure, be certain about your decision, because he said, your sins are going to find you out. That's what he told them. So the decisions we make better be based upon spiritual profits to us, spiritual benefits, because this is no hour to be found spiritually and inspirationally deficient. Amen. I'm talking about the time of the coming of the Lord. That's precisely where we are today. So why don't you put your Bibles down? And I want to pray, and I'm going to pray first, then I want you to pray. I'm going to pray for this service, and then I want you to pray. Is that all right? Don't ever remember doing this before, but I feel a certain special burden here today concerning this message. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that once again we can hear your voice to stir up our hearts, God, by the way of remembrance. We want you to do that today. Let our nests be stirred. Let our hearts be stirred. Let our minds, dear God, be illuminated by your anointed word here today to cause us all to examine ourselves and draw closer to you and to realize what hour we're presently in. I want you to touch every heart, every soul of everyone within the sound of my voice in this house today. Let there be no distractions. Let there be nothing going on, nobody running in out to distract anybody else. We're here to preach about heaven and being ready for the rapture here this morning. And we're trusting you to help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now, would you pray? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Far above all else, I must be saved. Far above all else, I must be saved. And whatever that you have to do to me, don't let me be lost. For eternity above all else, I must be saved. I want to know how many feel that way here this morning. I've got to be saved. I've got to be saved. Amen. You may be seated. In relation to the series that we have been teaching on journeying to the promised land for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months now we've been teaching on it. This is finally bringing it to the point, the crossing over point. The 40 years of wandering in a wilderness, 40 years of seeing one defeat, one tragedy after another. Every man, I don't know about the women, but I do know the curse was on the men. Every man above 20 years old, only 2 of them, Caleb and Joshua made it over into the promised land. All the rest died in the wilderness with the exception of Moses, who was received of God, buried of the Lord. So my point is, everywhere they went in circles, there was constant reminders. Grandpa's grave is right there. There's Uncle John's grave over there. There's my older brother's right there. Everything they saw was a constant reminder of the disobedience of a former generation. I want you to know today, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is a judgment attached to every transgression. That's a fearful thought. Amen. You say, well, when I mess up then, does that mean I'm going to be sent to hell or be judged? It means it is attached to you. That judgment is attached to you until you bring it to Jesus and put it under the blood, and then it's attached to Calvary's cross. Amen. But if you don't bring it to Jesus, hallelujah, and you ain't nearly as holy as what you think you are. Let's get all that straightened out here. The first thing today that he's talking to somebody else, because I've been rapture ready for a long time. You may not be ready when I'm talking to you here today. None of us are nearly as holy and as spiritual as what we think we are. Because if you think you are, you got a problem. Beware, because when you think you stand, you're going to fall. Amen. Jesus said every day there should be incorporated in our prayer life, in our devotion, he said, the beseeching of the Lord for his merciful forgiveness. Forgive us this day as we forgive others. There's a lot of times we come to God and say, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I done blew it. I done messed up. I said this. I did that. And turn around. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. No, you're not forgiven yet. He said, what do you mean? I asked. No, he said, you've got to forgive the others. Your forgiveness of God don't kick in until you forgive others. I'm in the book, folks. Don't look at me that way. I'm in the book. He said, because if you don't forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father cannot forgive you of yours. So all of this crocodile tears and people wonder why in their repentance, I ask God to forgive me. But if you get up there and still got an attitude or deep hatred and resentment in your heart toward others, you're not forgiven yet. Hallelujah. So, I don't know who's ready. I hope we all are. Amen. I pray we all are. I want to live like I'm ready. But at the same time, I always want to be aware that I need to get closer to God. Because strange things happen, as we read in the scriptures, in the last days. Very unusual things. We are so near to the end of the church age. If you believe that, say amen. Endless signs point to where we stand according to God's timetable. But he assured, be assured, that he didn't bring us here for us just to stay here. He didn't get us to the edge of Jordan for us to stay on this side of Jordan. He didn't bring us right here to the time of the coming of the Lord for us to get all messed up and caught up in the moment and somehow get our minds all clouded and totally miss out on the rapture of the church. Hey, saints of God, this world is not our home. We're just sojourning. We're just passing through. We're just here for a little while. We're going to be gone. In a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we are going to be leaving this world. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Is anybody excited about that? Now, things seem to be quite well for the church in America. There's nobody burning our churches down. There's nobody shooting at us. There's nobody arresting us for what we're preaching. That's going on in some parts of the world, but not in America. So consequently, we think everything's all right. You know? And beware when you're at ease in Zion. Beware, Solomon says, when you recline yourself, fold your hands, and go to sleep. He said a little slumber, a little sleep. a little folding of the hands to sleep. Why did he say folding of the hands? Because you're not using them for anything else. Because if you were using them for something else, like reaching out to a lost, reaching up to praise God, reaching out to help a brother or sister, you wouldn't be folding them up. You wouldn't be going to sleep. You understanding this morning? Hallelujah. People go to sleep when they get disconnected from everything else. Amen. I know sometimes I have trouble going to sleep because I can't get my mind disconnected. Sometimes it takes a while to get connected. Then when it gets connected, it takes a while to get disconnected. That happened to any of you all? All right, I want to make sure that I wasn't having a mental problem here this morning. And so these kind of things happen, but we've got to realize that every sign, I hear it all the time, we are so close to a one world governing system. There's a confederation of the nations wanting to come together. The UN is wanting to govern our nation, whether we fight or don't fight. Thank the Lord for a president that... You know what I'm talking about. Says, forget you, UN. UN means Uncapable of dealing with things. Un-American. Thank you. A whole lot of other uns that we don't need to be involved with. I just wish we would pull totally out of it, quit paying their bills for them, let them go bankrupt or whatever they want to do. Amen, because it is one of the most corrupt things in the world. But you've got the whole world saying, hey, we've got to come together for this. We're looking, you know, they're trying to bend us and break us till we come under the federation of a one world government. We're seeing a one world church come together through the auspices of the Catholic Church. Amen. The Pope John Paul, he prayed with Japanese Buddhist monks and blessed them. He said concerning the Islamic faith, that as long as they believed in a creator, they could have fellowship together with the Catholics. He just kind of reached out and embraced anything and everything to make a confederation, religious confederation. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? I could go on and on here today talking about signs of the end time. Folks, the apostolic church needs to get its head out of the sand and look around. Hey, smell the coffee, honey. Something's going on. It's a new day. Amen. We better wake up to the hour. And here Israel was. Everybody was ready to cross over into the promised land after all these years of pain, suffering, wrong, everything. 400 years attached to that in Egypt under the taskmaster. All of that. Everybody's ready to cross over into the land that flowed with milk and honey. Drinking from wells they didn't dig, living in houses they didn't build, eating vineyards that they didn't plant. I mean, everything is going to be a table spread for you once you get there. And here comes the prince of Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. I don't know which half. Nowhere in the scripture or history does it tell us. But anyhow, half-tribe came and said, Moses, we got a request for you. This is beautiful country here. This is beautiful pastures. There's a lot of water here. There's beautiful lakes. The pastures are lush. The grass is green. We have many cattle. They went on their list of protests beseeching him, if we have found pleasure and grace in thy sight, then let us stay here and not cross over to the other side. It bothers the leader when people come up, when you do so much to get people to this point, and you see people begin to make excuses why they're not going over. I mean, we could come up with some doozies. The Bible says everybody's right in their own eyes. And when you want to do wrong, when you want to backslide, you're going to come up with a reason. If you can't get mad at the preacher, then you'll get mad at the preacher's dog. If he ain't got a dog, you'll find one of his kids. There's something to go wrong. It'll be a Sunday school teacher. It'll be an usher. It'll be somebody in the parking lot. It'll be somebody that sat beside you that picked their nose while there's worshiping, you know, and offended you. I mean, if you're going to be offended, hang in there. Somebody's going to satisfy you. Hallelujah. But I'm going to recommend for those who want to cross on over that we've come this far by faith, and it ain't no time to let anybody stop us now. The princes of Gad, the princes of Reuben, the prince of the half tribe of Manasseh, you can tell me how beautiful this land of Gilead is. You can tell me how lush Bashan is and how well watered it is. I'm not interested. I'm going to a place my eyes have never seen, but my heart's in love with. Praise God. It's a place better than any place we have ever seen. It's called the land of promise. It's a place that flows with milk and honey. When we get over there, we're going to be where God said, this is what I've prepared for you. Hey, when somebody comes to you in this hour and tries to tell you, why don't you take this other job? You'll miss church, but look how much money you make. Look out, honey. Look out. You're going to end up on the wrong side of Jordan in this thing. Some of you kids around here, teenagers messing around with worldly boys and girls that ain't living for God. Look out, honey. You're going to find yourself on the wrong side of Jordan. There's a church getting ready to leave this world. My advice to you is, get you a young lady full of the Holy Ghost. A young man full of the Holy Ghost. Baptized in Jesus' name, shouting the praises of God, living for the Lord and righteously. Come on! Why? Because we're going over! The last thing you need, gentlemen, is a Barbie. Amen. The last thing you need, ladies, is a Ken. I think you know what I'm talking about this morning. These silicone babes, that's the last thing you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One young man fell in love with one, married her, went out on their honeymoon, got dressed for bed that night. She took off her wig, her fake eyelashes. She began to take all kind of fake and phony and falsities off. We won't go into all that. But when she finally got down and got the toenails and all that kind of stuff off, he looked at her and she didn't look the same. She wasn't built the same. He said, which pal do I sleep with? That's the way it is in America today. Some of these boys, you don't know what you're getting. Amen. So I'm telling you, find you a young lady that's in love with Jesus Christ, that's saying in her eyes, saying in her life she lives, this world is not my home. Yeah! That way when you, in a weak moment, reach your hand over there, she's going to slap it back to you in a message that says, hey, we can't do this because we're going over yonder. Many temptations, many trials, many things will come our way in this last day. But I'm telling you, honey, we're going over. Somebody is going over. Hallelujah. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. And he didn't lift us up to let us down. We're going on. How many feel that way? You got marching in your feet this morning. You got cadence in on your lips. You're ready to march on. Where you marching to? We're marching to Zion. We're the army of God that's pressing on and pressing upward. Mercer. Why don't you turn over to the left? There's a lot of fine things going on. A lot of acceptance over here. You can do what you want to. There's a place you can play music over here. They said, no. I'm staying on the straight and the narrow. I'm marching on the highway of holiness. I'm not turning to the left. I'm not turning to the right. I'm not about to turn around. My mind's made up. My heart is fixed. Some of y'all ain't woke up here this morning. Ooh, I think we just ought to praise Jesus for a moment here this morning. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Why are you so excited, brother and sister? I tell you why. I'm going up yonder. You may be seated. Scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For whosoever loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Two different worlds. The world he loved and died for is the world of lost souls. The world the scripture's talking about for us not to love, nor the things in it, is the materialistic world. You can like your car, but you better love your Lord. You can like your home, but you better love the home Jesus got prepared for you. Are you hearing me? You can love your friends on the job, your worldly friends, but are you like them? But you better love the camaraderie and the fellowship that you find in the family of God. Oh, praise God. This is why the enemy, Lord have mercy, this is why the enemy wants to keep you away from one another. We're so busy, it's hard to find fellowship today, time of fellowship. Amen. And I appreciate some of these around here, these brothers and sisters that want to get things together. We got picnics coming up, and we got this coming up and that coming up. We had a fish fry that went down because of the time. It had nothing to do with Brother Dossett's fish situation here this past weekend where they went fishing. We were not dependent on those fish for that fish fry. It just... too many people going to be gone. But I think it's wonderful when we get together. I love to get together with you. The reason I am here this morning is not because I feel like being here this morning. I just wanted to see you. I wanted you to see me. Just in case some of y'all ain't been praying for me, get a good look and then you have something to pray about. Hallelujah. Because when I get together with you, somebody out there can tell me something, you know, and put a smile on my face and I enjoy them. But Brother Shane, there ain't nothing, brother, like coming together to the house of God and shaking hands with my brothers and my sisters, hugging their necks, saying, I love you, been praying for you, how's your wife doing? Come on, we are the family of God. If you ever hear me say or come to you and say, hey, I think I'm going to stay over here. I think I'm just going to hang out on this side and just forget about the rapture. Somebody grab me. Somebody get hold of me. Somebody put this arm on there. Make sure you're short. The shoulder don't go up too high there. Hey, man, give me a couple shorties over here. Yeah, come on over here. If y'all hear me going crazy saying, fellas, you're taller than me. Just about. So everybody's taller than me in here. Hallelujah. Stoop down a little bit. The shoulder, there you go. No, you're all right on this side. I got a bad shoulder. And if you hear me saying, no, I'm gonna turn around. I don't think I'm going to go. And they say, oh, no, Brother Adams. Man, you done preached to us too long. Yeah. Come on, let's get this thing turned around. Let me walk with you. Let me talk with you. Let me preach to you for a while. Let me tell you about some of your Bible studies. Let me tell you about the time when I was going to turn around and your Bible study turned me the way I should go. Come on, that's what the family of God's all about. The world will tell you, oh, come on, it ain't going to happen anyhow. I'm telling you, the family of God, they're the best friends you've got in this world. The world may tell you that you're doing all right when you're doing all wrong. They'll tell you that you're holy and sanctified and saved when you're as lost as the devil himself. But inside God's family, hallelujah, people will tell you the truth. And the truth is we ain't made it yet. And the truth is we ain't got much farther to go. Hallelujah. And things may be looking better around here. Things may be looking better in this world. Oh, my Lord. But as Abraham said, I'm looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I have traveled to great cities. I have seen the most beautiful architectural work in the world. I have seen the world's wonders. But I'm not impressed by comparison to what my heart has seen on the other side. It kept Abraham going when everything was saying, turn it around. Amen. When he was losing his wife, losing his kids, losing this, losing that. Hallelujah. Something kept driving him. Something kept pushing him. That something was, he kept looking for a city. Hallelujah. Whose builder and maker is God. I live in a beautiful home. But it ain't nothing compared to the home God's got prepared for us. Praise the Lord. I drive a fast car. I don't drive fast. I just drive a fast car. There may come a day when I need to get fast, and I want it to be there if I need that. Amen. So I drive a car that's registered 160 miles an hour. Ooh. Big old North Star motor in it. I know what you're thinking, man. I'd hate to buy the gas. On the road, 28 miles a gallon. We won't talk about it in town. But, it's fine. But you know what? When the trumpet sounds, it's goodbye, fast car. In fact, if I could get somebody to get in that Seville and get out there in my glorified body, I would gladly race them on the quarter mile. We would gladly do the Indianapolis 500s because I could outrun them on foot with my glorified body. In a moment. You ain't hearing me? In a moment. What is a moment? It's an undefined segment of time. That's why it gives the illustration in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Not a blinking of an eye, a twinkling of an eye. An eye, I read one time, can twinkle 17 times in 1 second. Here today. The old song says, and gone tomorrow. No, here now. In fact, it's so fast. Catch this, Mo. It is so fast that the church is singing hallelujah. And when you read the book of Revelation, it hears the church still singing. But you know what it's singing? Anybody know? Hallelujah. Hey. Starts with an A. Hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. What happened to the ha? Well, we were all together on a Sunday morning talking about going up yonder. And somebody jumped up in unison and said, ha! They were going to say hallelujah. But it happened so quick. All they got was the ha out. And the hallelujah came out on the other side. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Oh, I ain't got time to go make it right. I ain't got time to run to an altar, repent. I ain't got time to run to the to the baptistry to get baptized. Hey, God's not coming back after those getting ready. He's coming back after those who are ready. All right, let me show you real quickly here. I'm going to take about another 5 or 6 minutes, maybe a little more. If they would go to Matthew 25. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to the 10 virgins, good people. The sum total is represented by the number 10. Virgins represent the quality and the character of what it represents. It's talking about saints, which took their lamps and went forth, everybody say, to meet the bridegroom. They started out right. They started out with the right reason. We're starting out to meet the bridegroom. The somewhere between the start and the finish, we get confused sometimes. Somehow between start and finish, we get all messed up. And we get thinking the reason we're in this church is to straighten everybody else out. Or the reason we're in this church, you know, is for this or that, whatever. No, we're here to go meet the bridegroom. That's why we're here, to be saved. Praise God. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Notice all 10 were virgins, good people. But 5 of them were foolish. Good people do foolish things sometimes. They that were foolish, this is what made them foolish. They took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The bridegroom, while the bridegroom tarried, they all, everybody say all, slumbered, all slumbered and slept. The wise did it. The foolish did it. The good did it. Slumber, complacency. When there's a world going to hell, when there's people that need to be invited to church, when there's Bible studies that need to be taught, when there's buses that need to be ran, he finds a church asleep. And at midnight. Midnight. Is midnight today or is it the first part of tomorrow? No one knows. All we know is midnight is a period of time when one day ends and a new one begins. Nobody knows which one it belongs to, but it's right there and there it is. And at midnight, at the point of the end of the day and the beginning of another, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. There is a cry in my spirit. There is a cry in the air. There is a cry in the sermons. There is a cry in our prayer meetings. There is something being called out by the voice of the Spirit saying, prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. I'm going to show you just how true that I'm preaching. If I would preach this 15 years ago, I wouldn't have gotten this far, Brother Carlson. It wouldn't be pulling amens. People would be trembling in awe and reverence. They would be on the edge of their seats with anticipation of getting a renewing from God. But what's happened, somehow or another, we've been lullabied by the spirit of the end time. The spirit of Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh have got a hold of many of us that says, I kind of like it here. I like the shade trees. I like the plush ground and grass I can lay on. I like my business. It's prospering right now. I kind of like it here. Let me tell you, no matter how good I like it here, I love it there. We better hear the cry. We better hear the call this morning from the Master, the bridegroom cometh. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Man, I ain't got time to deal with all this, but let me throw this out. There's a lot of people that get all crossed up because your lamps are not trimmed. Let me explain that to you. Where I was raised up, my grandparents on the mother's side, they didn't have electricity and probably till I was 14, 15 years old. I used to go spend time with them. They used kerosene lamps. And you got to keep your wick trimmed, because if you don't, it'll burn real high over here, and it will set up the lamp thing there, the globe. So many people lose out with God because they get on hobby horses. One thing. Hold to what I'm talking about here, because I know where I'm coming from. They get so caught up on one thing. Whether it's a holiday they don't believe in. Whether it's, it could be a number of things, but their whole religion is based on that one thing. And they think everybody in the world ought to be converted to that. It has nothing to do with the light, but what it's done, it's caused them to burn high on one spot and low on others. And in doing so, they set up their own globe. They didn't call them globe. What do they call this? Chimney thing. Or chimney. They called them chimneys then. Yeah, that's right. And so it would set it up. And what you'd have to do, you'd have to pull it off, trim the wick, clean the chimney, put it back on there to get your light going again. Let me tell you, you can have all the personal convictions you want to in your life. And personal convictions are wonderful. I've got them. You've got them. We all have them if you're close enough to God. There's things He's going to require of me that He don't require of you. There's things He may require of some of you that He don't require of me. Hallelujah. But let's live it. Let's keep a balance. That don't mean that you can throw everything else away. Jesus said you ought to have done this and not to left the others undone. You need a balance. You need to keep your wicks trimmed here. So the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them to sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, 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 went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward. Everybody say afterward. There's going to be an afterwards. I get so caught up in the excitement of going to heaven and being raptured. I get so excited in my spirit. And then when I read that next verse, there's a certain reverence and awe. What if I didn't make it? What if I was on the wrong side of that door when it shut? You see, because there's going to be an afterwards. Well, it's got quiet now. Afterward came also the other virgins. They were still good people. They didn't go out and get drunk, lay with women, lie, cheat, steal. They just got confused about what it took to be saved. And they thought, once saved, always saved. Because they came back and said, Lord, Lord, beating on the door, open to us. What did he say to them? But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you're not. You've been disenfranchised. You're no longer a part of the family. Jesus said, many will say, Lord, Lord, we have done miracles. We have healed. We have done wonderful works in thy name. Only for him to say, I don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Watch. Somebody say, watch. Therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Just be ready. I don't have time to deal with all of them, but quickly I'm going over seven things that I just told you right there. Wise people do foolish things, number one. They all started out for the right reason, number two, but all didn't make it. At midnight, they all slumbered and slept. There's a spirit of midnight in this hour that we have to fight against. Half of them were deceived to thinking they could find salvation other than God's church. They went out to find it some other place. They thought that they could buy their way into heaven. They went out to buy what only God can give. Simon the Sorcerer, Peter told him, he said, your money perish with you. You have neither part nor lot in this matter because you think the gift of God could be purchased by money. Amen. They thought the door of grace would always be open to them. They're privileged characters, you know. Church can't go anywhere without me. Hey, church don't need you nor me, but we need the church. They thought that once saved, always saved. But when they came back, the door was shut. When they thought they were privileged enough for him to open it to them, it didn't happen. He screamed out from inside, I don't even know you. Quickly, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 10 to 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What kind of life should we be living, folks, if we're living this close to the coming of the Lord? Certainly not one of carelessness. Why? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Stay over here, not on your life. Are you hearing me? No way. Amen. I'm going up yonder. My heart's already there. I'm longing. I had a dream 2 or 3 years ago. All these years, only one dream ever had of the rapture. And it was one of those dreams when I woke up. You ever have those dreams when you wake up and you close your eyelids real tight and you want to get back on that train? You want to get back in that dream, but you can't get back. That's the way it was. Oh, Lord, how wonderful it was. And I woke up and it was only a dream. But one of these days, my dream is going to come true. Hallelujah. Let's stand and lift our hands. I am preaching to people who want to go across. I am preaching to people who want to make it on over. And if you're not rapture ready this morning, I plead with you. I beseech you. Get your heart right with God. Backslider, come home. Lukewarm Christian, don't be spewed out of His mouth. Get on fire for God. Hallelujah. Kotoshe la la kaho la 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 mahaya. He la la kasha la 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 koye mahaya. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lift your hands and hearts to Him right now. Hallelujah. Let's restrict the in and out here tonight, this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anybody asks you where I'm going soon, and if they want to know where I'm going soon. Tell them I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. Oh, I'm going up yonder. to be with my Lord. Now I can take the pain, all the heartaches that it brings, still there's comfort in just knowing that we'll be gone, and by His grace, God's talking to you, we're going to run this race. Until I see the Savior face to face. Oh, tell Him for me, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. Be with my Lord. Going up yonder. Come on, backslider. Come on, sinner friend. God's calling you this morning. He wants you to be a part of that number. To be with my Lord. Oh, yes. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. Oh, I'm going up yonder. To be with my Lord. I can take the pain. You can make it this morning. Heartaches that it brings. There's this comfort in knowing we'll soon be gone. We need somebody coming praying with these that are praying by His grace. I'm going to keep running this race until I see my Savior face to face. Hey, we got a message to tell somebody today. I'm going up yonder. Come on around this altar this morning. Let's all gather in. Hallelujah.